Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Showtime!
How y'all feel?
I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
And welcome back. Hour number two here on KFH. Shane and Bruce and Max back in the studio. One down, one to go here on a Thursday. And we're very happy to be joined on the hotline now by an ESPN senior writer and most famously of Marty and McGee, a show you can hear early mornings on Saturday right here on KFH. We say good morning and welcome to Ryan McGee from ESPN. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm good. I'm coming to you from a rainy Charlotte. We're getting the, as happens when a hurricane goes through the Gulf, a few days later we get all the rain. So we're battening down the hatches. It's not windy. We're just going to get a lot of rain, so I got plenty of time to talk to you guys.
All right, sounds good. And we'll get to the book here in a second. It's an interesting topic and interesting family you got there. But I would be remiss if I didn't start with the Big Ten and get your reaction on the about-face that they did from about a month ago when it was decided they weren't going to play at all, not in the fall anyway, and now they've reversed course. Your thoughts generally on Big Ten football now?
Well, I mean, I hope it works. They don't have they have zero margin for error. I mean, right here in Charlotte where I live, we just in the last few minutes have learned that the Charlotte 49ers had to cancel their game with UNC Chapel Hill this weekend because of some positive tests. And so, the threshold is very low as far as what it would take for a Big Ten team not to play. And the fact that there are zero bye weeks in this 8-week, really a 9-week schedule, that's tight. And, the Big 12, as you guys know, has already had to move some games around, and the ACC has already had to move some games around, but they have room to do it. And so I'm a little concerned with the Big Ten's ability to pull it off. But, they're going, if they play one game, they're already playing one more game than I expected this fall. So, okay. I'd be curious to see if they didn't have Justin Fields and didn't think Ohio State could make the playoff. I'm not sure if they'd be doing all this, but they're doing it, and I'm glad they're giving it a shot.
Ryan McGee joining us from ESPN, the book, Sidelines and Bloodlines, a father and his sons. Let's talk about the father a little bit, because the perspective of growing up in a family where the patriarch is a football official is a twist that is unusual. How did it shape you and your brother in particular growing up, college football through the eyes of the most important, person and one of the most important people in your lives, your father? How did it shape you differently than you think maybe if your father had been a coach or a player or something of that nature?
Well, I think number one, when people come at me on Twitter, and complain about something that I wrote, or they call into Marty McGee and call me a bad name, whatever. There's nothing they can say to me that I haven't heard someone scream at my father a lot worse, right? I tell everybody that my brother and I learned how to cuss listening to Eddie Murphy stand up and listening to people scream at our dad on Saturdays.
That is funny.
I love college football because I learned it in just a completely different way than most. And you mentioned – coaches, when I talk to the kids of coaches, Joe Burrow and I have talked about this. Joe Burrow, obviously statistically greatest quarterback in college football history, but Joe learned football because his dad was a longtime college football coach, still is, and
sure.
That's how he learned the game. And so that's how I learned the game. And my brother and I, if dad came home from the ACC rules clinic and the NCAA was changing, say, the halo rule on punt returns. Mm-hmm. Well, dad would come home and he'd get me and mom and my brother and the dog and an ottoman and a chair and put us all in the den and say, let me explain to you how this is going to work. And we would watch a game. My dad would work a game on Saturday. And, say he works the kickoff classic with Florida State and Kansas on Saturday. Well, on Sunday, it's me and my brother and my father watching on VHS, the tape of the game on Saturday, and dad breaking it down for us. So I love, and plus getting to, I had my first sideline credential when I was 13. And so being on sidelines and getting to the stadium early and getting to be in the locker room with the officials, I love college football because I got to experience it and I got to live it. And you guys know, you get a little taste of being in that stadium when it's empty. You get a little extra access. It's impossible not to want to come back.
Ryan McGee, agreed. Senior writer for ESPN, Marty and McGee, early mornings here on KFH on Saturdays, and also college football guru, NASCAR as well. And he's got a book out, Sidelines and Bloodlines, about his dad and his brother, and our life in college football is part of the title. It dropped a couple of days ago, and really interesting topic. And I'm sure some interesting stories from your dad about the players that in the games that he officiated and the coaches in his ear. Got a couple of stories that are radio friendly for us?
Yeah, well, and so the number one question I always received and still receive is my dad was a field judge, which means he was on the sideline. He's the coach. He's the official you always see standing right next to the coach.
Okay.
During most of the game. So as a result, he's the official that's getting an earful from the coaching staff or from the sideline the whole game. Whether he threw his flag or didn't throw his flag, he's the one that is the messenger. Coach, we got a holding penalty number 65, or he's the one that gets screamed at because of the holding penalty against number 65. And so I write about it. In fact, there's an excerpt on ESPN.com right now. In my dad's house, he has what I call the wall of screaming. And it's all these framed photographs from all these games that he worked. And a lot of those pictures are him being screamed at by Lou Holtz and Joe Morrison at South Carolina and Mike Shula when he was at Alabama and Ron Zook at Florida. And the pictures are hilarious because all the coaches are just flipping out. And dad's completely ignoring them in every picture. The best one is of Mike Shula at Alabama, just a few games before Mike Shula was fired at Alabama. And he's just laying into dad, and dad is filling out his penalty card and looking at the scoreboard, completely ignoring him. But the most notorious, infamous was it was a Thursday night game. It was Boston College at Pitt, and Dan Henning, who's a great football coach and of course been in the NFL forever and won Super Bowl rings, and Dan Henning just started, cursing a blue streak at dad the whole game. And dad finally just couldn't take it anymore, and for the only time in his career, gave it back. Like, he started screaming back. Well, I was working at ESPN right out of college on SportsCenter, and the only game that was happening was this Thursday night game. And at ESPN, we don't see the commercials. Like, we get what we call the backhaul. You hear the audio from the stadium while the rest of the country's looking at commercials. And I could hear Dan Henning dropping F-bombs, and I could hear another guy dropping F-bombs. And suddenly Jerry Punch, the sideline reporter, goes, guys, I think that's Ryan's dad. So it's the one night dad flipped out, ESPN just happened to have a microphone pointed at him. Thankfully, it was during a commercial break.
Well, I want to follow up since you brought that up, Ryan. In basketball, you see referees teeing up head coaches left and right if they, got the earful that your dad would in football. How – did you ever ask him about, like, what would it take for a coach to get an unsportsmanlike conduct because they just take it the whole game and never throw a flag at these guys.
Yeah, and we actually, Dad discusses that in the book, and they call it the golden rule. And if you've ever seen Bull Durham, there's that great scene in the film where, you know, Crash Davis is screaming at the umpire, and he can scream all he wants, and it's not going to get thrown out of the game. But once he uses a particular phrase, the umpire throws him out of the game. And he knew, you know, Crash Davis knew what he was doing. And there's a couple stories in the book where what Dad says is, you can say that was the worst blankety blank, blank, blank call I've ever seen all night, and you will not be flagged. But if you say, you are the stupidest blankety blank, 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 you know, blank I've ever seen, when it becomes personal, that's usually when most officials will flag you. And typically, if someone receives a personal foul, whether it's a player, whether it's a coach, whether it's, you know, an assistant coach, the equipment guy, whoever, at the sideline, anyone who receives a personal foul has probably already been warned multiple times during the game. Cut it out, cut it out, cut it out, cut it out, or you're going to get flagged. And the only couple of times that Dad ever flagged the sideline for that, he had absolutely warned them time and time again. Jim Young, longtime college football coach, was at Army for a long time, nicest guy in college football. And for whatever reason, one day at West Point, he just flipped out on Dad for an entire quarter. And Dad didn't want to flag him because he's the nicest guy in college football. And then finally it got personal and he threw the flag. And years later, Dad ran into Coach Young. Coach Young goes, "You're the guy that flagged me at West Point." And Dad said, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm sorry about that." And the coach said, "Oh, no, no, I totally deserved it."
Funny. Okay, Ryan, I'm curious. An official, I'm going to go ahead and say this is my view of it. I think you admire them for their objectivity, or at least what we view as their objectivity in calling a game. But there has to be an underlying passion for the game, even from officials who we look at more with for their calm demeanors and their ability to be objective. So how do you strike the balance between the two? Because there has to be that underlying passion to do what your dad did for so long, so well. And I mean, you can't just do it, you know, without some interest and without some passion, a lot of passion, right?
Yeah, and I think you love it. And we again, right on like page two of the book, we pose the question to Dad, you know, why would anyone want to do this? Because you don't make much money. You don't make really any money. You have a day job during the week. You know, most of my dad's last crew was this accomplished group of, I mean, my dad was a university president, and there were a couple of FBI agents and a software mogul and a Pulitzer Prize nominee. I mean, that was his last crew. And so these are accomplished people, and they're volunteering to go to the stadium to get screamed at for 4 hours. And the best you can hope for, the worst you can hope for, you're never going to be famous, is infamy. And so you have to love it. And you're exactly right. But what Dad has always taught me, and I've seen it, and my brother is a trial lawyer, and I'm a sports writer, and we both use this in our daily jobs, which is once you step into the press box or into the courtroom, or in Dad's case, once you step over that white line onto the field, you detach yourself. You know, when my dad officiated the national championship game between Florida and Oklahoma, in his mind, it wasn't any different than when he officiated Wake Forest Duke in a meaningless game, you know, in October. You know, you have to approach every game the same way. And you know, it's not Tim Tebow. It's number 15. You know, that's just how you have to approach it. And you can certainly really appreciate where you are. And when you're officiating a game at Notre Dame, or when you're officiating a game at the Rose Bowl, you absolutely take in that experience in that moment. But the only way you can keep your nerves where they need to be, your judgment where it needs to be, is you just have to treat it like any other game.
Book's called Sidelines and Bloodlines, A Father, His Sons, and Our Life in College Football. It's Ryan McGee, senior writer for ESPN. Marty and McGee is right here on KFH early mornings on Saturday. Do you think, Ryan, that your dad being an official and being involved in college football kind of steered you or shaped you into what you are today, and that is a writer for ESPN, or do you think you'd have gone that path anyway?
There's no question that I'm doing what I'm doing because of it. And, you know, people ask me all the time, and my brother too, did we ever think about becoming college football officials? I think my brother wishes he had, but he's had a tremendous career and has a great life. I, on the other hand, never had any interest. And if I once I realized you could sit in the press box and eat a hot dog and watch the game, and right? So my first sideline credentials, I was 13 at the University of North Carolina at Virginia. It was a huge top 10 matchup. I got run over. The game-winning touchdown was scored by Barry Word, who played for the Chiefs. You guys remember him?
Sure.
And,
right.
And the linebacker who missed – I took a great picture of Barry Word scoring a touchdown with a camera Santa Claus had brought me. And the linebacker that missed on the tackle hit me. I mean, cleaned my clock. I might have weighed 85 pounds. And everybody was worried that I was dead, and I thought it was the coolest thing that had ever happened. But I remember clear as a bell looking around and thinking, so all of these people on this sideline and in this press box are getting paid to be here today. How do I figure out how to do this? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I officiated a scrimmage, a spring game at South Carolina a couple of years ago, with the SEC Network, and they put me at my dad's old position, a field judge. And I realized in about 5 minutes that I was much more comfortable in the press box.
College football has evolved under your watch pretty interestingly. You and your dad's watch, your brother's watch. How do you feel about the game, where it is, where it's headed, the true – big business aspect of the game has certainly changed during your lifetime and our acknowledgement of it, which I guess is progress to some degree. We all understand that it's a big business. But where do you see the game continuing to evolve and grow and change?
Well, I don't like some of what I see.
Sure.
You know, dad was, I mentioned dad was a university president. So while he was officiating, he was the Division II representative on the president's council at the NCAA, which is, that's the super friends. That's the group that's making all the big votes. And he would tell me 15 years ago when he'd sit in that room that he was worried because he could see, you know, the presidents of the universities that were really driving the ship. I mean, you know, the Power Five schools that were represented in the room, the money was what mattered to them. And so where I find my hope, though, is that when I'm at a football practice, whether that's at a Division II school or whether that's at LSU, I don't question the motivation of those coaches. And I don't question the motivation of the trainers. I don't question the motivation of the equipment guys. The people who actually cleats on the ground, taking care of football every day, they do it because they love it. And, yeah, they're all making money. But I'm telling you right now, Ed Orgeron would coach football if he was making minimum wage or if he was making $5 million a year like he is now. Because he loves
Agreed.
It. And so at the end of the day, what I really hope is that the people I talk to that I know love it and that I know really just want to coach and really just want to be in that stadium and experience it like we all do, as long as they're all in positions of power, I really believe Nick Saban cares about his guys. But I also know that Nick Saban likes making money. But at the end of the day, if you pushed him, he just wants to coach football. And so that's where my hope is that at the end of the day, the love for it will keep them from killing the goose looking for golden eggs, but we'll see.
Interesting.
Ryan McGee, senior writer ESPN, and co-host Marty and McGee with Marty Smith. We had Marty on when he wrote his book a while back. It sounds to me like, Ryan, that Marty and McGee is just two dudes sitting around yucking it up and your microphones just happen to be on. Is that how you view your show with him?
People, we get asked all the time, how do you prepare for the show? And the answer is we do not. And we kind of purposely, we don't even talk that much during the week because part of what we love to do in the first hour of the show is just catch up. Where were you this week? What did you do this week? And so, I've been friends with Marty for 20 years and the opportunity, we laugh, man. We do the show and we will walk out of the studio in the parking lot and look at each other and go, can you believe that we just did that like on TV? And on the radio. And so I hope that feeling never goes away, but I appreciate you guys saying that. Cause it's, he's my friend and it's just hanging out with a buddy and talking about whatever on a Saturday morning. And we're thankful that ESPN lets us do it.
Yeah. And that comes through in the show, man. It comes through and people people can relate to that. And, you know, it's tip of the cap to you guys. It's a good show, and it's right here on KFH Early Mornings on Saturday. Got a book out. It's called Sidelines and Bloodlines, A Father, His Sons, and Our Life in College Football. Came out a couple of days ago. Ryan McGee spending some time with us here on Sports Daily. We appreciate you doing it, Ryan. Best of luck with the book, and hunker down there in Charlotte, okay?
Thanks, Ryan.
Boys, I appreciate it.
All right, Ryan McGee, there he goes, senior writer for ESPN and co-host of Marty and McGee with Marty Smith, Saturday mornings right here on KFH. All right.
That's a good listen, by the way. You're dead on. That's a really good listen, that show.
It's just two Southern boys kicking it around. And
totally.
There's a place for that in this sports world, guys like that. You can have minutia and stats and numbers and trends, which I like, but there's a place for Marty and McGee too.
Yes.
You're right. It is a good listen, and we're happy to have it on KFH. All right. U.S. Open is going on. The Browns and the Bengals kick it off tonight. And anything else that we need to get around to and get caught up on. It's 10:21. It's Shane and Bruce and Max here on a Thursday, Sports Daily.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce and Shane on KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.